Okay, so this particular video is kind of one that I've alluded to several times, and it's all about communicating your schedule. This is a really important topic for you to grasp. It's so important that I'm filming it here in my house. You're probably hearing, I should probably close this door, but you're probably hearing birds outside. Like I'm outside of the studio environment. I wanted to do that to just kind of break the pattern we had and let you see that this is something that you need to be thinking about and something that needs to be a part of your scheduling and goal setting, okay? Part of your goal setting should be that your practice time would consistently improve the other parts of your life. I've been stressing repeatedly, this isn't about just a better practice time. This is about having a better life through a consistent practice routine and schedule. And it is completely possible. I promise you, it is completely possible. Okay, so let's just dive in. It's going to be kind of a sensitive subject because this deals with most of the time with people that we care deeply about. So we're dealing with spouses, girlfriends, boyfriends, maybe just a roommate, kids. This is dealing with all of them. And how do we effectively communicate the schedule and make practicing to where it's actually a benefit to everyone instead of like, oh, great, he's practicing again. You don't want grumbling. You want everybody to be like, yeah, no, that's his practice time. He really needs that time. So the first thing to realize with communicating this to other people is you are not a dictator. So please, for the love of whoever you're talking to, do not go and act like a dictator whenever you're going to communicate your schedule with them. Don't act like a dictator. It's not going to come off well. It's not attractive. It's going to do nothing but make strife in the situation, okay? You want to make it an open conversation. So, for instance, if you have roommates, you want to approach that roommate and say, look, man, I really need to practice. Like, it's really important to me, but I totally want to do it whenever is a good time for you and whenever it's not getting on your nerves so that you're not annoyed by it, okay? So when would be a good time for me to do that? And you can just kind of troubleshoot some things with them, get some general ideas, and then maybe come back with a schedule and say, hey, based upon what you told me, this is what I came up with. Is this cool with you, or is this going to get in the way of what you're doing? Because I know you like to, you know, whatever, have your TV time at this certain time, and so I tried to plan around that. So make it a give and take thing if it's in like a roommate situation where you're giving them time and they're giving you time and you both know the times that you're giving each other and you're respecting it. Maybe they're like, hey, I want it quiet by 10 o'clock because I have to get up for work at, you know, 5:30 every morning if I don't get to sleep. Okay, cool. That's a criteria. That's some give and take. And then you can say, well, cool, I'll make sure not to practice during that time or whatever it may be. But make it an open-ended conversation. Make it a hangout time just where you're just trying to troubleshoot. And then once you get that, post the schedule so that everybody can see it so that you can be like, no, that's my practice time. And so whenever they have an issue, you can say, no, you agreed to this time. Do we need to change that? Is that something that needs to change or is it cool to keep it there? If it's cool to keep it there, then, you know, we'll keep it there and you've got the issue. If not, then I've got the issue and I need to redo how I'm doing this. Okay. That's when you got a roommate, that's kind of the avenue I would go to approach that. When it comes to spouses, girlfriends, boyfriends, that's a different animal. And that's probably the one that a lot of you deal with, especially if you don't do music for a living. Because they're wondering, is there something that activity is offering them that I'm not giving them? They're reflecting it, or that's what I've found. They're reflecting it on themselves as they just don't want to spend time with me, so they're planning this event so they can tell me they have to do that. But in reality, it's all because they don't want to spend time with me. That issue has come up. The other issue is they love that more than they love me, which has always been a funny issue. You know, it's absolutely not that. You can love drumming, but I mean, come on, drumming's not my wife. It's two different things. I need to have my wife and I also need to have my passions. And one of those is drumming. And so we need to just kind of know some of their issues that they may have. And sometimes it's issues with us. Sometimes we're actually not doing things we should be doing to allow them to not feel that way. Okay. So let's go through a couple scenarios so maybe you can troubleshoot in your own life. First scenario, he doesn't love me as much as he loves drumming, okay? Which to me is ridiculous. To you might be ridiculous, but to them is a very real and valid feeling. So we need to approach it like that. We need to find out why they feel that way. Why would you feel that way? Well, I feel that way because you spent more time practicing than you did with me. Okay, well, let's see if we can adjust that. Yeah, I feel that way because you talk about drumming more than you talk. Okay, well, let's. So you can kind of troubleshoot that issue. That one to me is simply letting them understand, yes, I love drumming. Yes, I love you. They're not even in comparison. Drumming is an activity. You are like a human being. You're a living person. There's no way. So it's probably going to lead you to some discussions of why they're feeling that way. And it usually has nothing to do with your drumming. It has everything to do with somewhere else. We're not letting them feel supported in that way. The other thing that I get or have gotten, these are from my own life. He just doesn't want to spend time with me, so he's planning that thing so he can tell me he has a scheduled thing that he has to do so he can't spend time with me. Okay, well, if that's the issue, you need to look at why they would feel that way. What are you doing that's making them feel that way? But also, look at how much time you're spending with them. Are you spending enough time with them? Do they have a valid point? Because if you're not, you need to look at the relationship. So I hang out with my wife all the time, like almost every night. But there are some nights where we're like, neither of us will say it, but it's like we just need to go to separate rooms and hang out by ourselves. Everybody needs some me time. So communicating that to them that your time practicing, if you can do it guilt-free, is not actually, it doesn't take away from that relationship. And they'll understand this. It actually adds to it. You come back energized to that relationship because you've had some time away from that person. But if that person's always on your case about it and doesn't understand how important it is to you, then it is a source of strife. And even if they're giving you that time, they're giving it begrudgingly. And so you're not able to enjoy it. So it's really not a positive thing for the relationship. You need to approach this in the way of this is a positive thing. Like if I can have this time, it's going to make our time together so much better. Now, what is not going to be a positive thing is if you go into your practice time and all of a sudden they come in there and they see you on your phone, or they come in there and they see you just goofing around. If they realize you're really not working, you're just using that as an excuse to get away from them, that's an issue. So make sure you're actually practicing, which if you follow this course and you do what I'm talking about, it's not going to be it's going to be a non-issue. There, I had a student email me the other day and he said, man, I've learned more in 4 weeks with you than I have with a year with this other drumming program I've been doing. He said, it's amazing. He said, my wife can hear the difference. He said, you know, we were sitting down on the back patio the other night hanging out having a beer. And he said, you know, we started talking and she said, well, you don't talk about this lesson, you know, series much anymore. You're talking a lot about Stevens. He said, well, you know, I've seen so much progress. She said, you know, I can tell. So then she starts talking about, because he would practice while she was getting supper together after he got home from work. She said, yeah, I mean, you're in the pocket. You're playing with more confidence. I'm actually dancing around. So that was really positive to him. Not just because he was getting better. That's cool. But the ripple effect of him getting better was his wife understood the importance this had in his life, that he needed to decompress after work. She understood that. And so she was actively engaging him and saying, wow, I know this is important to you. You know, I hear you getting better. And my wife's not interested in drums that much. She's interested to the extent that her husband is a drummer. Like that is his job. So she's very patient. But she's also understood that it weighs heavy on my mind whenever I don't get my practice time. It weighs heavy on my mind whenever I'm not improving how I want to, whenever things are disorganized. And so she's learned to listen. So if you can make it a part of your relationship, make it an open conversation. Now, ways to approach this with your spouse or your significant other is not just to sit down in an argumentative tone and dictate to them what's happening and how it's going to happen. You need to come at this at a little bit different angle, right? Let's have some tact. There's a way to approach this. So if you have a significant other, you say, hey, there's something I wanted to talk to you about. It's totally about a relationship. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Go ahead and alleviate their fears because they're going to be thinking, oh my God, are you leaving? Don't just alleviate the fears and say, you know, I wanted to, could I take you to dinner? Like, are you available on Tuesday night? Can we go to dinner and I'll make us reservations? Now, you're going, they're now thinking date. And you've alleviated the feeling that, oh, we're going to talk about your, oh, we're talking about our relationship. This is a good thing. And then when you get there, you can say, you know, it's just really been, you know, I really feel like you've been having a hard time with it. I just kind of wanted to find out why. And so you've got a nice dinner. You're treating them nice all of a sudden. And so they're able to open up. We kind of need to approach. A lot of times we, you know, why don't you like me practicing? Why? And then we all know that delineates into just an argument. So make this an issue of my nose is like itching like crazy. My grandmother would tell me somebody was coming over and I'd be like, ha ha, you're crazy, granny. Why do you even say those things? That's your response to your grandmother all the time when you're a kid. You're like, okay, you're crazy, whatever. But to this day, my nose will itch. I'm like, I wonder who's coming over. Watch the doorbell ring in a second. Where was I? I'm completely off schedule or off topic. Ah, yes, we were having dinner. So you're taking them out, you're treating them nice, and you're approaching this in a non-confrontational discussion type way. If you do this, though, you have to be open to hearing their side of things. You cannot go in there and try to dictate to them and take control of the conversation. You really need to, basically, I would have like three questions, ask and then prompt them. And if they're not talking, prod a little bit more and say, and get them talking. Let them do most of the talking. They'll work it out. And you listening, there's such a big power in listening. You listening is going to let them know that you care and that you really are concerned about this and that you really do need to address this as a couple. You will leave and that will be a positive experience and you'll get like several bonuses. First bonus is you got a good dinner. I mean, that's always nice. I'm big on food in my life. The second bonus is they're now feeling positive because you've opened lines of communication. The third bonus and the one we were going for is we get our practice time and we get it guilt-free. Okay? So that's the whole purpose there. If it doesn't go well, just know you don't have to win the war in one dinner. Make it a recurring thing that you bring back up. Don't bring it back up if it's making them aggravated. Bring it back in loving ways. By doing that, they're going to understand that it's an important part of your life. Again, make it something that you post in the house so that they know when your time is. And what you'll find is that if they know that that's your time, they'll start scheduling things in that time. And then a couple weeks later, they'll be asking you, isn't this your practice time? Like, weren't you supposed to be in there 5 minutes ago? Because they have things they want to do. You doing the practice time has freed them up to have some kind of a hobby. And now all of a sudden they're like, I want to get to my me time. I thought you had your me time. Okay. I know that because that happens in our life. My wife was like, she's incredibly supportive and she's like, don't you need to go practice? I'm like, yeah, I need, but I know that she's going, I got crap I want to do. Like, you know, I'd planned it. You gave me your schedule. Thought that was what we were doing. So just know this is going to enable them to also free up their time and not have to worry about it. So, cause you've decided about it ahead of time. So we're posting that. We're letting everybody know about it. We're not being a dictator. We're approaching it with tact. The other one that we have is kids, and that's going to be that's simply going to be a thing of you sitting down. They may not be old enough to voice. I got a 5-year-old. He's not quite old enough to voice everything, all his feelings. Also have an 8-year-old who is very vocal about his feelings and can communicate them very well. So just know where they are in life and just know that maybe they don't like your practice time. Maybe they're interrupting you because they're not getting enough time with you. Maybe you haven't made it clear enough that, no, this is my time and you'll come afterwards, but same way I give you time is the same way I need to give this time. And so by doing that, you're really actually setting a good example for them. And by not always, get out of here, you're making them a part of it, maybe let them come play in there and then lovingly say, hey, look, this is the time, only time I have to practice. I'm going to be in here, so I don't want you coming back in. It's not because I don't want to see you. It's just because I need this time. And then when I get done, we're going to play like crazy. Like you can plan the things and you can say, all right, go get the coloring pages ready. I'm going to be in there in half an hour and give them a time. Let them see on a clock when they can expect to see you there. You have to think like a kid. Now, if you still have these issues, You and that's why I said it's the ripple effect that I talked about. It's that practice ripple effect. It'll make you look at maybe you aren't spending enough time with the kid. Maybe your time with them you're spending on the phone. Maybe they're constantly feeling like something is taking your attention away from them and they're never first priority. If they're feeling like that, maybe it's an actuality. I constantly assess how I'm doing with my kids and I want to do better, and I'm constantly looking at that. So it may actually be an issue, and that your 5-year-old may have a valid concern. So just know that communicating with kids just takes some love, some patience. And if they do interrupt you, they're kids. They didn't mean to. They're just excited. And you shouldn't just like come down on them. You know, after third or fourth time, you know, get a little bit more stern, or I do. But let them know. Invite them in there and say, you know, this is a cool space. This is something cool that Dad does in his spare time. You could do this too if you want to pick up an instrument. Okay, let's play around for 2 or 3 minutes. And then usher them out, give them a time you're going to be out, and give them things you're going to do. Another thing is, if you're going all the way through this course, having that space that you practice from, that real peaceful space, and we'll talk more about that in the next couple modules, having that real peaceful place that you are able to practice from, you're going to be able to get back in there and center yourself. And if you can't, if you're a little frustrated, go back to your pre-practice routine. Take about 3 minutes, play your trigger song again, do some breathing exercises, get centered, and then get back into the practice time. So doing this, it's not like, oh, I visited my pre-practice time. You can go back to that, and it can refocus you, okay? These are just some ways that I found that are helpful with communicating. Communicate it with love. Let them know how important they are to you, how important it is for you to do that, and how it's a symbiotic relationship. And you'll find, if you do this, they'll find things to do during that time. They'll look forward to their time with you, and you'll come out of there being rejuvenated, and you'll actually look forward to getting back together and hanging out with that person. And you won't feel angry. It won't be this source of constant soreness, because they're not letting you have that time. All right. Once again, I can't stress enough. Once it's decided, post it for everyone to see. If it keeps coming up as an issue, revisit that and go, do we have a problem with the time? All right. If you're having maybe an issue, or maybe post below, you know, I really do need to talk to my spouse about this, or my girlfriend has, like, let's post some concerns below this comments. Let's not be derogatory. The worst way to get your spouse to be cooperative, your significant other or your roommate, is by talking down to them. So you always want to build them up. And so let's open a conversation. What are your issues with your home life, with the people that you live with those other beings that are in your space? How does that come into play with your practice time? Put it in the comment section below. I'm reading all those. I'm looking forward to it. And then skip on over to the next video, and let's keep going.